I thank everybody for coming out on this rainy night. Ravanish tapped me to be the speaker for the night. He's out, and we're going to have the halacha shiur on pause. You guys, I think you're going to do kosave come Monday. But tonight we're going to use a different part of our brain. We're going to focus on hashkaf a little bit, maybe open our hearts a little bit too. So with that, we'll start. So Rabosa, I have a question. If there was one midah in the entire world that could epitomize what a gadol is, what would that midah be? What would that midah be? And okay, davar pasha, that it has to be that they know Torah. But that's not a midah, right? That's like step aleph from Masilas Yesharim, if you know it, right? So what would be the midah that you think would epitomize the essence of a gadol and possibly even elevate all of the other midot out there?
Humility.
What else?
Patience. Or consistency.
Emunah.
Ayin Tov.
Love it. Nice. Okay. I submit to you that it's achrayus. And responsibility. And so first what we're going to do tonight is talk a little bit about what achrayus is, what it means to be a Baal achrayus, why I feel that it's actually achrayus that could be the thing that elevates other midos, why that's the one that a gadol must have in order to actually be a gadol. And I'll use sources to develop it because it's not my idea. It can't be, right? It has to be founded in something holy and pure. So for starters, let's make sure that we have the classic definition of what achrayus actually is, right? We all know responsibility. I got to take responsibility. But the actual definition of achrayus comes from the root acher, meaning other, yeah? So I am here for another person. I'm here to help others out. Mm-hmm. And so to really develop that point, I think the Mashkiach of my yeshiva, Rabbi Yosef Lin, he would always say, Rabosai, this world is about other people. That was his clarion call to us. This world is about other people. We all want to focus on ourselves. We want to develop ourselves and who we are. But a part of that is helping out others in whatever way we can. And so I want to just discuss achrayus through the lens of a few of the Torah personalities out there that both embody achrayus and that didn't, and then go from there. So first, I think it's important to try to have an emphasis and a focus on who the greatest Baal achrayus out there could possibly have ever been. Who do you think the best in the Torah, the best Baal achrayus out there? Moshe Rabbeinu, by far, head and shoulders among everybody else in the world. So I want you to think for a second, what it would have been like to be Moshe Rabbeinu with 600,000 people that you're responsible for. You didn't sign up for it. You didn't want anything to do with it. You said, my brother will do it. He's a better speaker than me. No. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you have to be the guy to do it. And Moshe says, if you say that's my tafkid, that's what I'm going to do. I'll step up and I will lead this nation. I will lead these people from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, and I will handle all of what it is that they're going to have to handle. And so to develop that point just a little bit deeper, I want you to think for a second about what it would be like to be at a big gathering. Think about the biggest possible gathering that you were at. Maybe it was a concert, maybe Sima Shas. For me personally, it was when I was in yeshiva and I got to go to Rav Avadya Yosef's Levaya. That was the most massive gathering that I was zoked to be at. So think about whatever massive gathering you could think of for a second. Close your eyes and just look around that crowd and think to yourself, were there 600,000 people there? What would it have been like for me to personally be responsible for 600,000 people? And Moshe Rabbeinu had the capacity not only to do that, for the klal, but individually. I mean, we have the sources that help us understand what it was that Moshe Rabbeinu did. And we know that it was Nesia Ba'ol. He was able to see into the burdens of other people. And we know that he was Viyar Sivlotam, right? He picked up the burdens of what it was that these people did and carried throughout everything. So just for a second, think that whatever that gathering is, Sima Mashas, wherever you are, yeah? And imagine just you now have people, and you're like, oh, did he have enough food today? Is he healthy? Did everything go okay? These guys have my focus. I have to go resolve that. Maybe I should get Aaron to do that, right? Or what do I? Oh, I have five people coming up to me for a shiloh. Yeah, I delegated everything. My father-in-law told me to do that, but still, I have achrayus for all of these people. That is the epitome and essence of what it is to be a gadol. Now, granted, we're not going to be on the lofty level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's important to at least have our head on right about what the Mishnah Pergalus tells us, where it's in a place where there's no man strive to be a man. Moshe didn't want anything to do with the level of achrayus he had to have. But once he knew he had to have it, he went for it. And he did. And he epitomized it in a huge, big, big way. There's another person I'd like to talk to about. And obviously Moshe Rabbeinu is the biggest, biggest. And maybe you guys can get to that level. I'm a little concerned. I don't think I can get to that. Right? But at the end of the day, we realize he is the epitome of who it is to be a Baal HaKharis, what it's like to be. But there's another person out there. Elazar HaKohen. Who was Elazar HaKohen? And what did he do? So, in Bamidbar, we learn, Bamidbar 4:16 tells us that he carried the oil of illumination, the ketoret, the daily flower offering, and the anointment oil. He was responsible for carrying a great deal of items. And so the Ramban on that point tells us the weight of what that was. And so the oil of illumination needed for the entire year weighed 183 lugim. And the ketoret came to 365 mana. We don't know the weight of the other things to be carried, but we know the measurements here. And one lose approximately a half a liter, which is about a pound. And also one mana equals about a pound. So we don't have to go crazy math. I did it for you. 548 pounds is what this man was responsible for carrying. Okay, you want to tell me that he had animals to hold it? Maybe he didn't have to hold all of it simultaneously. Maybe it was made to look. Okay, Lamaisa is, this man was responsible for making sure that all of these items got where they needed to be, that they were able to be used. And if they got lost for a second, you couldn't do the Ketoret that day in the Mishkan. You couldn't actually, you know, do the Avodah properly. So that is a tremendous level of achrayus on a person. And I'm not saying that. Revolba is going to say that. So Revolba comes and he tells us that, Shlomo Revolba, we're all familiar with the great Mashkiach. He says that this is very, very crucial. In a sense, he takes this as the paradigm of what greatness is. He tells us that greatness is a function of how broad our shoulders are. Greatness is a function of how much we take ownership. How much we take ownership over and bear responsibility for something. And that's commensurate with how great we are. How broad are your shoulders? And if we look to a gadol, a real gadol, they have the broadest shoulders imaginable other than Hashem himself. Yeah? It's one thing to have great midos. Like we were talking about, we said we threw out a lot of good ones out there, Ayin Tov, patience, consistency. But ultimately, achrayus is going to be the one that raises all of those up. Because if you don't take achrayus, you'll never utilize them. And so one of the things that's very crucial to understand whenever you're giving a Hashgavah Shir over, and I was fortunate enough to hear this over from Rabbi Akiva Tatz. Rabbi Akiva Tatz gave a Shir to Malchon Shlomo, guys that I heard on the recording, Baruch Hashem. And he gave it over in a beautiful way, and he said, this is how you give a Hashgavah Shir, boys. You have to take, and he learned this from Rav Moshe Shapiro, based on Chazal themselves, you know, who said the following. You need to take the concept or idea that you're talking about and dial it back all the way to the first instance you've ever seen it appear in the Torah. The first instance that something appears in the Torah, that will give you a glimpse into what it is that concept is all about. Not only that, but you can even learn it through the other way, which is how I'm going to explain it this way. And what I mean by that is the negative. So what was the first time in the Holy Torah where a person did not take achrayus? Adon Rishon. Oh, yeah. It was my wife who made me eat from that fruit. Didn't take achrayus. Whoa. So what should we see from that? We should see, like, oh my gosh, achrayus is a personal thing too. It's not just for other people, but it's also what's achrayus and what's responsibility. I have to own up to who I am and my own actions and my own way of doing things. Yeah, okay, maybe she did, you know, play into my reasoning for why I should have eaten from the fruit. But I should have owned up to who I was. And then, the son of the person who doesn't have the... And by the way, we are still metakening that sin to this day. The lack of achrayus is something we're still having to make up for to this day, down the line. That's a part and parcel of what it is to metaken the sin of Adon Rishon. Just maybe a small one, I don't know. But it's one of the fragments that needs to be put together and assembled before we can ultimately ascend.
I don't mess up your flow. It's really great listening to you. What do you think Adon Rishon should have said?
Oh, he should have said, you should have taken on some level of achrayus, meaning a responsibility in the sense that, like, you know.
Didn't She gave it to me, and I ate from it. Like, correct. Saying what happened? Like, she
I would
gave
have,
it to him. And
I'm not the Torah, and I'm not
from it.
Very good.
I can't remember. Is it she fed it to me? He didn't say
so
that.
I'll say it like this. I would have just deleted that part. Just delete that part. Yeah, Ayeka, where are you? Oh, and then just say what you did. Take on the responsibility for yourself. Your wife and you are intertwined. Supposed to be. You're the same as her, right? My wife's improper decision, in a sense, is also mine. I should take off her eyes for that. That's very deep. That's very powerful. Ruminate on that. Next. Okay. So his son, what did Cain do when he killed Hevel? Even worse. Am I my brother's keeper? So this is the Torah Shkafer here. Flipped on its head. Without question, you're your brother's keeper. How do we know that? Two Gemaras tell us that. Gemara Shavuos, 39a and b, and also Sanhedrin, 27b. It's also Yaakov Shwaki. Shekol Yisrael Arevim Zebzeh. All of Klal Yisrael is responsible for one another.
Cain should learn the Gemara.
Huh?
I mean, Cain should learn the Gemara.
Yeah, right. Wait. And also, some people want to get a little frum on you and say, oh, well, I learn Arvis like this. Well, hold on a second. I'm going to inject you with a little Kabbalah. It won't hurt a bit. So we're going through the Talmud Devor. And Rav Moshe Cordova, I just want to get the quote just right. He's going to say the following. All Jews are close familial relations. They're shar basar in a certain sense. They are familial relations with one another because our souls are combined together. Our souls are combined together. And our fellows, this still a quote, our fellows' pain should cause us anguish as if we were to suffer the same pain ourselves. Conversely, our fellows' honor and success should gladden us as if we were to enjoy the same good fortune ourselves. So in a certain sense, what we're saying here is that this is the quintessential ishkaf of a yid. A yid should say that I'm responsible. I have responsibility. And I'm intertwined somehow with the klal. If we're not so Kabbalistically minded, we also have a Rav Chaim Shmulevitz to latch on to from Sichas Musar. So in Sichas Musar, on page Pei Bet, if you're Sephardi like myself, he has a whole mimer on Achrayut. And if you want to look at it, it's Mimer Chaf. So in there, he tells us a nice, powerful quote, which is that a person's stature is measured according to the responsibility, the Achrayus he takes for his actions. And then he does something absolutely mind-boggling. He gives you the two extremes of what that is. He talks about specifically the two extremes of what it is to be a shote and what it is to be a melech. A shote is an individual who doesn't have the ability to even take achrayus for himself. He's a fool, in quotation marks. He doesn't have any level of cheshivis because he has no achrayus. A melech, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, is the person who has so much achrayus, right? So much achrayus for the entire kingdom that he has to be over. And therefore, he is elevated to high status. And if we want to take this a step further, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the very melech over all of us who has the most amount of achrayus. We were trying to understand earlier, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu had so much achrayus over 600,000 people? Well, the Eibishter has achrayus over every little thing in the entire universe, let alone every person on the planet. That's incomprehensible. That's achrayus. So that's crucial to understand. And so when we're understanding these pieces of the puzzle, we get a more crystallized understanding of what it is that achrayus is all about. So now let's fast forward to a positive instantiation in the Torah where achrayus was taken. And I don't know if this was the first time we see a positive achrayus, but this is what Rav Chaim says. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the same mimer is going to say that Yehuda, in reference to Yosef and the pit and selling him and killing him, was the opportunity that Yehuda stepped up big time. And he said something absolutely off the charts. He said, what do we gain if we kill our brother and cover his blood? Remember, let's understand the scene here. They convened a Beis Din. They're about to now go and kill him. They think that they have halakhic grounds to do so. No pit is even envisioned right now. And Yehuda says, no. What do we gain from killing him and covering his blood? Sell him to the Ishmaelites. Okay? You might think, you can still do something negative. Like, what's the benefit of that? Where's the achrayus? So Rav Chaim owns in on some very deep language. He says, don't cover the blood. If you're going to do something, go public on it. Take responsibility for it and be okay with having it be known. Don't hide it. Gemara Berachah's fourth parak, we all know this idea, that you have to be tocha kavara. Your insides have to match your outsides and vice versa. So your outsides have to match your insides. And that goes not just to your external of what you're wearing, but your actual actions that you're taking. What you do in life has to be something that you are willing to have the world know about and see. If there's something you're doing behind closed doors, covering the blood, that is not achrayus. So we have another layer here of what achrayus is. It's not just stepping up for myself and for others and giving. There's a level of responsibility to myself that I have to take and be open and fine with my actions being shown. And if I'm not willing to do that, then that's not achrayus. That's not responsibility. And let's understand, what's Yehuda known for? Machus. Machud. In the merit, says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, of Yehuda doing this act that elevated him by saying, don't cover the blood, take responsibility, he merited Malchus for his entire, for the, everybody that descended from him. When we take responsibility, when in whatever capacity we can, in whatever level we're on, we are being like a melech. We're being like a king. And therefore, we're also being like Yehuda, like all of our, you know, these amazing great men that came before us, and almost sort of like Hashem himself. So let's just come up for air for a minute. And let's just do some Chazar real quick. One, we asked, what's the granddaddy Mita, so to speak, that embodies what a Gadol is? We said, at least I said based on these sources, that it's Achrayus. We defined what Achrayus was, and we sharpened the picture of what Achrayus is through seeing people who actually had it. Moshe Rabbeinu, Elazar HaKohen, and Yehuda. We also saw through people who didn't have it, Adam and Cain. So now, two final things. One thing that I want to say that I might be going out on a limb to say, but I think there's fertile ground for it, pun intended, you'll see later, is that Achrayus is the Mida that will elevate all other Mida that you have. How can that be? Let's understand something. We're all a field. Proverbially, we're all a field. And what causes us to sprout is activating those good Midos that we have inside of us. It's one thing to be a Baal Chesed. It's one thing to be, you know, with Gevura. It's whatever your mitos are. But if you don't take responsibility, if you don't take action, if you don't take on tasks or responsibilities and say, I'm going to do this, you don't have the capacity to bring to bear all of your mitos. And therefore, in a certain sense, Achrayus is what allows all that to be brought forth. It's organization, but with mitos. When you organize your actions, you take Achrayus and responsibility. You do for the klal. You're able to bring to bear your uniqueness, your character traits, your own midos. And when you do that, that's when you can actualize your potential. But without Achrayus to activate that, I submit to you, sometimes it could just be dormant. These midos might just be living there forever. And they never actually get fertilized, so to speak. And so that's how I think they elevate, so to speak, all of our other midos. And so a person who has very little responsibility in life, or doesn't assume responsibility in life, or would choose rather to not have it, is going to be a field that's uncultivated. Possibly barren land if they don't actually try to take on Achrayus. And, you know, sometimes we all really want to take on Achrayus, but we don't really know what to do, and how's it going to be? So we're going to develop now five different places in life where we are going to sometimes be forced to take Achrayus, and other times when it'll just naturally develop for us. So those five things are what I submit to you are yourself, your family, your community, your extended community, and then Klal Yisrael at large. And so how do we become like a Baal Achrayus? How do we do that? And so first you got to take responsibility for yourself. How do you take responsibility for yourself? I'm not here to tell you that. I can submit certain things, and I don't know where people are holding in life and what they're doing. But let's say one of the things is getting to davening on time. I'm not sure if anybody in this room is in that sugya, but let's say it's getting the davening on time. And you know that if I have to get to somewhere to help make that minyan, possibly it's the chibur marif, I don't know. You have to make sure that you're there to make sure that not just for yourself, but for others. Take achrayus, take responsibility and make sure that you are there. Or whatever it is, it could be some other element, but there's a dimension of your own personal achrayus. And who are you? How are you showing up in life? And how do you go about making sure that you show up at your best? Step number one. Number two is family. Some people in this room are married, some people aren't. Those who are married are going to understand this a lot better, and those who aren't will get it in time. Sure, you could take achrayus for your brother and your sister and your mother and your father, but it's a bit different. When you take achrayus for your wife and your kids, it's a whole different world. When you get married, you're a bal achrayus by definition. God is going to shove you into that role, and you better be good at it, in a certain sense. And so what am I referring to specifically? When you have a wife, she is the epitome of what it is that you have to be focusing on in life. Do I go out to learn, or do I spend time with my wife? And you have, that's a das call. It really is. And one day it might be one thing, one day it might be something else. And you really need to know. It's a different level of achrayus. You have responsibility to make this person happy, especially Shana Roshona and beyond. Now kids is even deeper. For kids, you're their melech. You're their Moshe Rabbeinu. You're their, if I can say this, you're their Hashem in a certain sense. That's big. That's big enough, right? And so that requires a lot of thought, a lot of developing yourself to be able to be a person who says, you know, I'd rather go out to daven right now, but my kid is asking me for a hug, and then this one wants a snack. I'm supposed to get the minion on time. Bob said I have to be responsible for myself. That is a lot right there. That's achrayus. And das is needed also. Third step is your community. Let's say we're the chabura, right? We're responsible for the chabura. How can we do that? For example, let's say there's a new guy that comes to town. Show him around a little bit. Take him out for a Shabbos meal. Show him the community a little bit. Or whatever else the examples could be. Extended community. What's the extended community? Maybe it's Highland Park. Maybe it's beyond. Maybe it's doing something for the people in your yeshiva. Whatever it is, it's your community. And then it's like not yet Klal Yisrael. It's like between there. It's not Klal Yisrael totally at large. It's a little bit smaller. Maybe it's like New Jersey or your own yeshiva. Whatever it could be. But that's another dimension. And I'm not saying we have to work on all of these simultaneously. That would be crazy. And not possible. You know? Tefasta merubah lo tefasta, right? Tefasta merubah lo tefasta. You'll be able to grab a little bit versus a whole lot. And so what we need to do is appreciate where we are in the world of achrayus and how we can take it on properly and effectively. And the last one is Klal Yisrael at large. And again, that one is bigger than me. But I can just give you examples of people who I know right now in your own backyard, who I think personally are doing phenomenal work in the world of taking care of Klal Yisrael. Rabilowitz started the Edison Chabura out of nothing. He created a place for all of us to land after yeshiva and have a softer landing. He created a place where we can go and develop ourselves, work on these things, focus our efforts and become who we are. And then go out, whether it be in the Edison community or elsewhere, and have the banner of the fact that we were a part of this Chabura. We were here, and we did something big and great, and we had somebody like that. And when he has somebody out there, and that's like right in your own backyard, or look at your own Rosh Yeshiva, or whoever it is that you know is a shining example of what you could do for Klal Yisrael. And the last piece is, don't think that you can't do that. The biggest sin is low self-esteem in our generation. We have to recognize that we are great, that we have the capacity to affect Klal Yisrael. And it might not be in the biggest way possible, but we all can get there. And if we focus on this superfood, super mida, one could say, of achrayus, we could become a gadol b'achrayus. And maybe we won't get to the level of being a gadol b'torah. I think everybody in this room can, if we really strive to be gadol b'torah, but we all absolutely could be gadol achrayus. And so, now to put everything together and to close, we spoke about what it is that a gadol has to have to really, really get to this level. And then we spoke about what it is that achrayus is. We spoke about all the people involved, how it can elevate everything, how we're the field. And now we close with those aspects of what I think we can all work on. So we should be zocha to appreciate the depth of what achrayus is, to either see the Torah hashkafa of what it is to be a bal achrayus and go out and affect the world in a positive way. Thank you all for coming.